Divine Mercy is coming, Lent is almost over, and if you have learned anything from watching my videos about purgatory, it's that the promise of the Divine Mercy Sunday is one of the greatest gifts that Jesus has given us. That promise comes straight out of the Diary of Divine Mercy by Saint Faustina Kowalska. This book not only teaches you some of the most amazing things that you can learn about the spiritual life and about God's Divine Mercy, but it also has incredible passages about purgatory. In fact, purgatory is mentioned 26 times in the diary, and there are 14 to 15 different passages that we can dive into that have immense knowledge as much as any other book on purgatory. In fact, over the next few days, we will cover these passages and dive deep into them. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now let's dive right in. Shortly after this, I fell ill. The dear Mother Superior sent me with two other sisters for a rest to Skomelov, not far from Warsaw. It was at that time that I asked the Lord for whom else I should pray. Jesus said that on the following night, he would let me know for whom I should pray. The next night, I saw my guardian angel who ordered me to follow him. In a moment, I was in a misty place full of fire in which there was a great crowd of suffering souls. They were praying fervently, but to no avail for themselves. Only we can come to their aid. The flames which were burning them did not touch me at all. My guardian angel did not leave me for an instant. I asked these souls what their greatest suffering was. They answered me in one voice that their greatest torment was longing for God. I saw Our Lady visiting the souls in purgatory. The souls call her the Star of the Sea. She brings them refreshment. I wanted to talk with them some more, but my guardian angel beckoned me to leave. We went out of that prison of suffering. I heard an interior voice which said, "My mercy does not want this, but justice demands it." Since that time, I am in closer communion with the suffering souls. The first thing that we should note from that passage is that Saint Faustina asked Jesus whom she should pray for, and the souls in purgatory are whom Jesus revealed. We need to understand the preferential option that Jesus has for the souls in purgatory. Some time ago in the church, you would hear a lot about this preferential option for the poor. Well, Jesus has a preferential option for purgatory. It's at the top of his list. This should give us great joy, because when we are praying for the souls in purgatory, we are praying for a group of people that Jesus has deep in his heart that he wants us to pray for. We are in that moment doing his will in a way that only in heaven we will understand. The second thing that we learn is that when we visit the souls in purgatory through our prayers, we are walking right alongside Our Lady, right behind her in this title, the Star of the Sea. And we are in this wake. When you are on a boat on an ocean or on a lake, there's a wake that's created, and that's exactly what happens. As she traverses the ocean of suffering that is purgatory, we are right behind her. We're in that trail. When we have a special devotion to the Blessed Mother, we often find certain titles that we love, and those titles mean something. This title, the Star of the Sea, has a special significance for the Blessed Mother in her role in purgatory. Wouldn't it be amazing if for all eternity we are connected to this title as one who, with the Blessed Mother, gave relief to these beautiful souls? The last thing that we should understand, this seeming confusion in God, this is where people get held up when it comes to purgatory, where God speaks to her, and I believe it would have been God the Father, that reveals to her, "My mercy does not want this, but justice demands this." How can we understand? Jesus has done so much for us on the cross, but us applying it to our lives is a process. That's where mercy comes from. And we need to understand this. It is not like how the Protestants say that we apply Jesus's mercy all at once with one moment. That is not our common experience. We apply it little by little through the sacraments, through prayer, through penance, through all types of moments that are infused with God's grace that has its source from the cross. So we need to properly apply that mercy to each and every moment of our lives so that we don't have to face God's justice. This means purgatory isn't necessary for us if we apply Jesus's mercy to us sufficiently. What is a concrete example of doing this? Celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday every year. Yes, I celebrated it last year, but guess what? I've sinned since then, and I need more grace applied to my life so that I can grow more in holiness. So I need to celebrate it this year. And you can use this example for every situation, every prayer, every indulgence. Once I was summoned to the judgment seat of God, I stood alone before the Lord. Jesus appeared such as we know him during his passion. After a moment, his wounds disappeared, except for five. Those in his hands, his feet, and his side. Suddenly, I saw the complete condition of my soul as God sees it. I could clearly see all that is displeasing to God. I did not know that even the smallest transgressions will have to be accounted for. What a moment! Who can describe it? To stand before the thrice holy God, Jesus asked me, "Who are you?" I answered, "I am your servant, Lord. You are guilty of one day of fire in purgatory." I wanted to throw myself immediately into the flames of purgatory, but Jesus stopped me and said, "Which do you prefer? Suffer now for one day in purgatory or for a short while on earth?" I replied, "Jesus, I want to suffer in purgatory, and I want to suffer also the greatest pains on earth, even if it were until the end of the world." Jesus said, "One is enough. You will go back to earth, and there you will suffer much, but not for long. You will accomplish my will and my desires, and a faithful servant of mine will help you do this. Now rest your head on my bosom, on my heart, and draw from it strength and power for these sufferings, because you will find neither relief nor help nor comfort anywhere else." This is a packed passage. What can we understand? First, from that question that Jesus asked her, "Who are you?" Why does he ask this? And why does he ask this just after having revealed the wounds in his hands and side and his feet? So this is a profound thing. Who can enter heaven? No one except Jesus. And to the degree that we look like Jesus, then we can enter heaven. So you must be shaped to be like Christ and exactly like him. So when he showed her his wounds, what was he doing? He was showing her a mirror. Do you look like this or not? And it's interesting that she gave an answer, "I am your servant, Lord." And what did Jesus say? Guess what he did not say? He did not say, "Yes, you are my servant." Do you know what he said? No, you know what you are? You are guilty of one day in purgatory. That's who you are. As if to say, "I don't know you." Think about this. Saint Faustina being told by Jesus, "I don't know you." Imagine what he's going to say to us. Imagine how much she suffered in her life and still didn't look like Jesus, and how much we refuse to suffer. We will really not look like Jesus. So we need to remember, there's a passage from this one video that I did where there was this Dominican priest that was revealing to this person what it was like to appear before God in judgment. That's something that we need to meditate on. Remember what he said? He said, "You are there, you bow in adoration, in trembling, and you sink into the purification," like this moment where you say nothing and you are shaking. We need to prepare ourselves for this moment and make ourselves, through God's grace, be like Jesus and suffer as much as we can out of love for other people, out of love for the souls in purgatory, out of love for Jesus Christ. And think about the judgment that he gave her, one day in purgatory. Remember different estimations that we've tried to gather from different revelations, that about a week in purgatory is about 700 years. It varies depending on where you read. So that basically means that one day is about 100 years. So Jesus was right in what he was telling her. What do you want to choose? A few more years of suffering on earth, or 100 years, that's what it's going to feel like, in purgatory? She made the wise decision. And this should give us motivation for any of us that are suffering here on earth. One day in purgatory feels more than 100 years of suffering here on earth. So it doesn't matter who you are, you ain't suffered nothing yet. Be grateful for the suffering God has given you if you are carrying a difficult disease or something like that. It's even worse in purgatory. God is giving you a gift. Offer it to him on behalf of the souls in purgatory. One night, a sister who had died 2 months previously came to me. She was a sister of the first choir. I saw her in a terrible condition, all in flames, with her face painfully distorted. This lasted only a short time, and then she disappeared. A shudder went through my soul because I did not know whether she was suffering in purgatory or in hell. Nevertheless, I redoubled my prayers for her. The next night she came again, but I saw her in an even more horrible state, in the midst of flames which were even more intense, and despair was written all over her face. I was astonished to see her in a worse condition after the prayers I had offered for her, and I asked, "Haven't my prayers helped you?" She answered that my prayers had not helped her, and that nothing would help her. I said to her, "And the prayers which the whole community has offered for you, have they not been any help to you?" She said, "No, that these prayers had helped some other souls." I replied, "If my prayers are not helping you, sister, please stop coming to me." She disappeared at once. Despite this, I kept on praying. After some time, she came back again to me during the night, but already her appearance had changed. There were no longer any flames as there had been before, and her face was radiant, her eyes beaming with joy. She told me that I had a true love for my neighbor and that many other souls had profited from my prayers. She urged me not to cease praying for the souls in purgatory, and she added that she herself would not remain there much longer. How astounding are the decrees of God. You hear some of the final things that sister tells her, urging her to continue praying for the souls in purgatory. That urge has been extended to us. We need to never stop praying for them. The other thing that I want to point out is a thing that I've talked about in other videos that sometimes disturbs people. Just because we offer prayers or masses for others doesn't mean it gets to them. God still has to decide. He chooses if the person receives the prayer or if someone else gets it, even if they're in purgatory and even if they are in need of prayer. Why? Because sometimes it's a case that those are people that, as I have said before, have not prayed for anyone in purgatory, never went to mass, never thought about the souls in purgatory. And sometimes God in his justice allows for them to be forgotten as well, just as they forgot the souls in purgatory. That's why if you want to be someone that receives prayer immediately, if you want to be someone that the masses that are offered for you after you die are directly given to you, then be a person that prays and offer masses for others. Do not forget, because the same will be given to you. We can hear the scripture passages right in your mind. The measure with which you measure shall be measured out to you. The other thing that we should also take note is about where in purgatory that sister was. We can presume from the details she was in the lower levels of purgatory, because Sister Faustina couldn't even discern if it was purgatory or hell. It is the case that parts of purgatory, if we were to see them, would seem to us like hell. Be forewarned, hell is even worse. There is so much more to cover in the Diary of Divine Mercy. I will see you in the next one.